Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
This is the Spurs Cast with your host, Paul Garcia.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurs Cast. In today's episode, I will be going solo. I'm going to be diving into the latest rumor regarding the Spurs and Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks providing an update on Marcus Morris Jr.'s situation with the Spurs. And then also going through the first five games of the rodeo road trip for San Antonio. So let's go ahead and jump right into this episode, Spurs Cast episode 732. Okay. So there was a pretty interesting rumor that came out on Wednesday, Valentine's Day this week, written by Howard Beck of the Ringer. In one of his articles, kind of just recapping the trade deadline and kind of just what was heard, some of the noise, he had an interesting nugget here, Howard, about Trae Young and the Spurs' potential interest in him. So before I get into the Spurs' part of this article, encourage you to read the article in full. He had some interesting quotes from some different executives across the league. So according to an Eastern Conference executive, the Eastern Conference executive said of Trae Young that he's available, that the Hawks have made him available. And then a Western Conference executive in this article said, I think they would love to trade Trae. So again, these are just two different executives from different teams. But from what Howard's heard in his reporting, the other execs think that the Hawks, their intention is to try to move Trae Young here in the future. Now, where do the Spurs play into this? Here's how the Spurs' part comes in. Beck mentions that the Spurs, that according to one executive, again, just one executive, said that Atlanta discussed a potential Trae Young trade with San Antonio before last week's deadline. So again, this, I know that it's kind of been a lot of people have provided their opinion, different journalists, that, they think that San Antonio would be a really good landing spot for Trae Young. But this is the first reporting, or at least first rumor, that shows that the Spurs did have some interest in Young, if they indeed were on a call with Atlanta, just discussing a potential Trae Young type of trade. So this becomes very interesting, because obviously we know Trae didn't get traded. Neither did DeJounte Murray, who the Spurs also reportedly had interest in. But this just shapes up for if Atlanta has a very, like a tough end to the season, they don't meet the goals that they want to, coming into this offseason, then there's a high chance that potentially Trae Young or DeJounte Murray could end up moving. And that's actually what Beck mentions in his piece. He says, according to what he's heard, Atlanta's, it wouldn't be surprising if Atlanta departs with one of Trae Young or DeJounte Murray, or even both players, perhaps. So again, this is just very interesting that this is the first reporting we've heard now that the Spurs actually made some contact with Atlanta regarding, what does a Trae Young type of trade look like. So again, we're looking at the situation like the Spurs do have interest. So knowing this, hearing this rumor, it really piqued my interest myself. I really started to think, what would it take, salary cap wise, trade wise, to make this type of a deal happen. And so what I really want to do today, and I sat down, I did a lot of research, is look at what would a trade look like? How would it even work if the Spurs and Hawks, were interested this coming off season to try to put together a trade for Trae Young to end up in San Antonio. So there's two timelines that the Spurs and Hawks would be able to execute this type of a trade through. There's before July 1st, which is still this current 2023-24 season salary cap year. So in this salary cap year, Trae Young's making $40 million right now. The Hawks are $9.6 million under the tax, and the Spurs are $24.8 million under the tax. So again, this is before July 1st comes, that this trade will be done. Maybe this trade could happen like right before the draft. It could happen, or maybe those after the draft, but those days before free agency officially begins. Because again, Young's contract for this time frame is at $40 million. And so, seeing this, as I started kind of just playing with different trade machines and also just kind of running the numbers myself, the Spurs, they could figure out a deal like this, according to some of the machines that I ran here and the projections. if they decided to, you know, if they were able to include Keldon Johnson, who's making $20 million this current year, again, before July 1st, and also Devontae Graham, who's making $12.1 million. Now, we know that Graham's salary isn't fully guaranteed for next season. He would have to be waived before July 1st. So, again, this trade would have to be done before July 1st, you know, completed where Young's on the Spurs and then Graham and Keldon are on the Hawks. And then from there, of course, if the Hawks did not want to keep Graham on the roster, then they could waive him before July 1st. So again, it would have to be, I would say this trade would probably be one of those that needs to be done maybe like on draft night or around that time frame run, right when the draft's coming. Now, of course, the big question here is, you know, for the Hawks, it's, you know, how many first round picks do they want and how many are the Spurs, you know, willing to give up or not willing to give up, especially considering that, you know, as far as looking at salaries, Keldon needs to probably be included in this trade because he has, you know, the largest contract aside. You know, I don't think the Spurs would look at moving a player like Devin Vassell. There's no way. So again, you know, you're looking at Keldon as a player whose salary would need to be included in this trade. And so because of that, then you start asking that conversation of, you know, how many picks, what does it take for the Spurs to say yes or no? And then what does it take for the Hawks? And so again, that's where it gets real interesting. Again, I don't have the answers there, obviously, but just salary wise, I was, you know, as I'm making these projections, it would look like, again, you could probably get a deal done before the trade deadline, or not before the trade deadline, before July 1st, with the salaries of Keldon Johnson at $20 million and Devontae Graham at $12.1 million. And then you're bringing in Trae Young at $40 million if you're San Antonio. And again, that conversation goes back to the draft picks. Do the Hawks want three picks? Do they want four? But then again, the Spurs can say no. Well, we're, you know, the Spurs are trading a really good young player in Keldon, you know, who's on a very good contract in the next few years. So again, that's kind of where the back and forth goes in those negotiations. But again, I think a deal, if the Spurs and Hawks were serious about making a deal happen, you know, in the off season, I really think that it would have to be, the best time frame is to do it before July 1st, before the new salary cap year starts on July 1st. And here's the reason why, as I get into this next part. And just considering the draft assets that the Spurs have, we do know that they have, you know, between at minimum 11 first round picks in the next 7 years, and at maximum 12 first round picks in the next 7 years. If that Charlotte pick conveys, I doubt it's going to convey because Charlotte's not expected to be a good team in the next, you know, 2 to 3 years, or in the next 2 years before it turns into a second round pick. So again, most likely that Charlotte pick ends up being a second round pick. And then another reason why I would say regarding trying to move Young before the draft or around that draft time is that, you know, if the Spurs were to include some of their one of their current draft picks, you know, the 2024 picks, whether it's like the Toronto pick, some picks right now, then it's easier for the Hawks to have more control of their draft situation, where they could like look at a prospect that they want. If they make the trade happen before draft night, well, then they get to actually choose that player, make that selection. Or if they know a trade's going to happen right after the draft, you know, then the Hawks could tell the Spurs, hey, pick this player. That player is going to be included in the deal for Trae Young. So again, there's just more control for the Hawks' situation if this deal were to happen and it included a draft pick that's included in the 2024 draft. So again, that's something kind of just to watch again, why I think both salary wise and also draft pick wise, it's a little bit easier to make this work before July 1st, if both teams wanted this situation. Now let's look at the other option, which is to try to figure out a trade that happens after July 1st. So this one gets a little bit trickier just because, you know, I'm going more so off paper pen. Anyway, the reason why it's a little bit tougher is because all the different trade machines we have out there that we have access to, like the ESPN one, there's another one, I forgot what it's called. Anyway, there's multiple different trade machines. A lot of those trade machines only let you work with salaries that are within this salary cap year, so it's hard to project figure out trades starting after July 1st, because again those salaries haven't you know happened. The salary cap year hasn't been set yet. So I've kind of just again reread some of the CBA guidelines and kind of tried to figure out trades here of what the situation looks like. So if now let's talk about what happens if this were to happen after July 1st. So we know that Trey's salary now goes up by $3 million. Starting on July 1st, he's going to start making $43 million. So now if you're San Antonio, you have to put a package together that's going to get close to that number of $43 million. The Hawks, if they were to, you know, let other free agents walk, they're expected to get right now it looks like the ninth pick for themselves. And then also like the 18th pick is the projection. They have a pick coming in from Sacramento. So if they get those two picks, and let's just say they let other free agents walk, well, then they're expected to be about $3.5 million under the tax starting on July 1st. The Spurs, as I've mentioned multiple times here, they could have as little as $17.1 million in cap space Again, if they get Toronto's pick, or they could have as much as 22.8 million if they don't get Toronto's pick. So if the Raptors, you know, bottom out and they end up with the top six pick, well, then the Spurs don't get that pick, and then the Spurs have a little bit more cap room, 22.8 million. This also takes into account right now, I just have the Spurs pegged as getting the number one pick. Of course, if the pick's number two, three, or four, then that's a little bit more cap room for the Spurs. Cap space for the Spurs if they don't get the number one overall pick. Again, that $22.8 million number is with them getting the number one pick. Also, something to note about that Spurs max salary cap space for the Spurs, which is like 17 to 22 million. This is assuming that they do unfortunately have to let all their free agents go. They also have to let go of players on non-guaranteed contracts. These are players like possibly Charles Bassey or Julian Champagny. So again, that's the only way the Spurs can open up this 17 to 22 million is to let go of free agents and let go of players that aren't on guaranteed deals, as well as waiving Devontae Graham in this situation, even though he has a partial guarantee of like 2.5 million. So again, the Spurs have some cap room there. So the way this one would work, there's two different routes that I see. And again, I'd feel better about the, you know, my research here if I had like access to a trade machine that worked with July 1st numbers. And so using their cap space, let's just say the Spurs have like $22 million in cap space. To make this type of a deal happen, the Spurs, you know, wouldn't need to get all the way up to that $43 million that Trae Young's contract is at. They could use part of that cap space. The way they would do this is they would have to include Keldon Johnson's salary, which is going to be $19 million next season. Possibly a player like Malachi Branham, who's making like $3.2 million on his salary. And then that might help. And then plus the $22 million in cap space, that kind of a trade, if you do those two players, plus you're using the cap space, that helps the Spurs stay below the salary cap in a trade for Trae Young, again, acquiring him at $43 million. According to my research, again, I'd feel a lot better with that answer if I had access to like a cap machine or something like that. So again, that just using the cap space, that's what I see could be possible right now. Again, based on my research, is Keldon and Branham could get that deal done using also the Spurs' cap space, as long as they stay below the salary cap, they don't go over $100,000 over the salary cap. The other way, let's just say that doesn't work, maybe that's not the way it works, then the only other way I see is to figure out contracts that get up to that $43 million. That's a tougher assignment for San Antonio. So in this situation, the Spurs might have to be putting together like three or four players to get up to Trae's salary there of $43 million. So there, just to make the numbers work, they might have to put Keldon Johnson's salary in there. They might lose their, a player who could end up becoming their backup point guard in Trae Jones. He's making $9 million next season. And then also possibly, having to guarantee Devontae Graham's salary for next season at $12.1 million to use it in a trade. So he gets paid the entire $12.1 million. Or if they don't want to use Graham's salary or even Trae Jones, well, then they have to package like three or four players together just to try to kind of meet that number. Again, you're talking like players that are making like $3 million, $3 million, $2 million. The Spurs just don't have a lot of salary to make, big trades right now if they don't want to include some of their key players. Of course, they don't want to include some of the players with the higher salaries. And so that's what makes it tough. And you might be asking that question, why have I not mentioned Zach Collins, who has, a more movable salary there to help a trade happen. The reason why is because, again, as I mentioned here on the Spurs cast, is that according to Bobby Marks, and also, as I reread the CBA, Zach cannot get traded or be traded until October 2024. And why is that the situation? Because he signed a veteran extension. And so a player cannot be moved for 1 year from that veteran extension signing date. So he signed that contract about mid-October, late October. So again, according to the CBA, what's written there, he can't be moved until about October 2024. So again, that's why Zach's contract would help getting a Trae Young kind of trade help going forward. But again, because his salary can't be moved into October, it looks like that makes him a little bit more challenging in terms of trying to figure out the salaries after July 1 to figure out a Trae Young type of trade. And then of course the other part of it still goes back to, at the end of the day, it's really coming back down to what are the negotiations with the draft picks? So really, that's where all these, if the Spurs have interest and the Hawks have interest of making a Trae Young deal happen in the summer, it really comes down to those questions who's saying yes or no on how many draft picks are included and what protections and what swaps, et cetera. And so I think that's where the yes or no conversation even comes into play. I think that if both teams wanted to make a deal happen, they definitely could, whether that's before July 1st, before the draft or after July 1st. Again, it'll be a little bit more tricky, to figure it out after July 1st, just because the Spurs have to figure out how to get to that number of 43 million. But again, I think that they have the ability, with both teams being under the tax next year, projecting to figure this out. So again, that's kind of it just really piqued my interest seeing that rumor from Howard Beck, just because again, it's the first reporting we've seen right now that shows that the Spurs had some interest. So again, not only interest in DeJounte Murray, but also Trae Young. And so I think that again, going forward, the main thing to watch going forward in the season is how do the Hawks finish out. If they have if they don't have a good ending to the season, if they don't meet the objectives that they set forth for themselves, then I think that, you know, and it looks like they're looking for like a rebuild or reset, that I didn't think definitely DeJounte or Trae could definitely be in play for San Antonio if they have interest. And of course there's gonna be other teams that need a point guard, and maybe they get into them, you know, a bidding type of war to try to acquire one of those two players. And I would just say about Trae, you know, looking at the current All-Stars of this year, he's the only player who, if he was available in a trade, he's the only player that looks like, you know, he's gettable to get in a trade if the Hawks do intend to move him this coming summer. So again, that's just the latest on this latest Trae Young rumor. Again, it really caught my attention there, and I wanted to just kind of dive in and see what it will look like if the Spurs and Hawks were to try to make a deal.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
All right. So now for the next topic, let's just talk about where the Spurs stand with the Marcus Morris seniors situation. So of course, we know that he was acquired last week on the trade deadline on Thursday. The Spurs still haven't waived him. You know, there was reporting that he was either going to get a buyout from the Spurs or he was going to get waived. And so I think that's still going to happen, and they have some time to do this. There's no rush to do it. And so So we do want to note that he hasn't been waived just yet. Right now, what the team's doing with him on their injury reports is they are listing Morris as not with team. So again, he's out. Not with team is what they're writing on each of their injury reports in these first two or three games since he's been acquired on the team. The deadline for the Spurs to waive him so that he can join a playoff team is March 1st. So again, that's the key date to watch. It's about 2 weeks away. So again, they have about 2 weeks to figure out if they're when they're going to waive him. And so it's March 1st that he has to be waived to sign with the playoff level team. We do know that just looking at the waivers, the way it works is that he would probably have to be waived 2 days before that, so he can clear waivers by March 1st. So again, he would probably have to be waived by February 28th. It's probably the deadline for San Antonio to waive him. And then we do know that the Spurs are still being cautious about what they're going to do with that open roster spot if they end up doing waiving Morris, because we've seen that they haven't gone out and signed any of these players that ended up, you know, getting waived from their teams last week. Some of those young players who didn't work out for them, such as Killian Hayes, such as a player like James Bouknight. The Spurs never, you know, it looks like right now they haven't made an attempt to try to go after those players. We haven't seen much reporting on those players. So it looks like they're still being very, very conservative with trying not to give Dominic Barlow too many games on the active list, because, you know, again, he only has a 50 game limit to be on the active list. If not, the Spurs have to either waive him or convert his contract to a to a full roster spot, which of course right now with Morris still on the roster, they don't have the room to do that. So we have seen in the last three games where Dominic has been out for two of those games where he's been on the inactive list. And we see, of course, Zach Collins get those minutes, but there was a game a few games ago where Zach and Dominic Barlow were both healthy and available in the game. And Coach Pop started with Zach in the second quarter, but then in the second half, he actually went to Barlow, and he basically said, you know, Barlow's kind of earned those minutes. He's been playing really well from what the Spurs' coaching staff has seen. Now, of course, we've seen lately that Barlow's been on the inactive list, and Pop did say that, you know, Zach has had some difficulty coming back from injury. He hasn't been able to get back into his form of where he was before the injury. And so, of course, the Spurs are giving Zach some time to try to figure that out. And Barlow's kind of having to be on the inactive list right now. And again, that's because San Antonio doesn't want to cross that 50 game limit of him being on the active list. So again, I think that Barlow's that player to watch if the Spurs do end up waiving Marcus Morris, so that he can end up getting a full roster spot and the Spurs don't have to be like on a watch for him in terms of him going over his active game limit. So again, that is the latest on where the Marcus Morris situation stands with San Antonio. As of when am I recording this? Thursday evening Mountain Time. So again, he's still on the Spurs' roster. And then for our last topic here, I just want to do a quick little update on the Spurs' first five games of the Rodeo Road Trip. And then also kind of just some trends for Wemby of how he's been playing in some of these games. And so let's go back to when the Rodeo Road Trip first started. It was last Wednesday. The Spurs were on the road at Miami. This is before the trade deadline. They lost to the Heat by 12 on this night. It was close for about three quarters. Then Miami took over in the fourth, and the Spurs ended up trailing by as much as 19. On last Thursday, so a week ago from today, the Spurs were on the road at Orlando. They ended up losing this game by 16 points. Orlando had a comfortable lead from halftime onward, and the Spurs ended up trailing by as many as 23 points. Devin Vassell had a really big third quarter here with 23 of his 30 points scored in the third quarter. It was, I was listening to the San Antonio Express News podcast. I think it's Spurs Insiders. And they were talking about that, you know, how Devin had that historic mark, and it was something that no other Spurs player has done, which is really impactful. I think that the only part that kind of takes away from it is the fact that the Spurs were kind of down by a lot of points in that. So even though he was having a really good quarter, the Spurs still were, you know, Orlando always had a pretty comfortable lead. And so I think that's why, had it been a closer game, I think it would have got a lot more, you know, hype and just build up for that moment for Devin as he set forth a historic night for the Spurs on that night at Orlando. And then on Saturday, the Spurs were on the road at Brooklyn. You know, they weren't supposed to lose by this many, but they did. They lost by 20 points in this game. Brooklyn held a comfortable lead from halftime onward. The Spurs trailed by as many as 28. Again, that wasn't something that we were expecting to see. You know, Brooklyn's not that much better than San Antonio roster-wise. And so, you know, they weren't even favored by that many points, but they ended up leading by 28 and winning this game by 20 points. And then the not a surprising win, but a win that was very demonstrative was the win this past week on Monday at Toronto. The Spurs ended their losing streak by getting their first win of the Rodeo Road Trip. They defeated the Raptors by 23 points. They led by 31 points. They never even trailed in this game. And, it was about the second half where the Spurs really took control. You know, they had the lead, yes, throughout most of the first half. It was pretty close. But then the Spurs completely took control later in the third quarter. And then Wemby had his second triple-double of his career, as I'm going to talk about here, with an impactful 10 blocks. And then the most recent game was the Spurs at Dallas before they go to the All-Star break. So they were at Dallas on Wednesday last night, and they ended up losing this one as well by double digits. They lost by 23 points on the road at Dallas. You know, the Spurs actually came out really well with the 15-point lead they built on Dallas, but then the Mavs slowly chipped away. By halftime, the Mavs were up by five, and then the second half, the Mavs just completely blew the game open. They ended up taking, I think it was like a 28-point lead or 29-point lead. Yeah. So they ended up leading by 29 points, Dallas, and they completely, you know, took that game away. And so the Spurs, you know, to begin the first half of the Rodeo Road Trip, they are 1-4. You know, it's kind of, you know, you would have said, yes, they probably lost these games against Miami, Orlando, Brooklyn, and Dallas, and they probably would win Toronto. But again, you didn't think that they would get blown out in a lot of these games. I think that's the key thing, is that we've seen a lot more blowouts. Again, the one positive was the fact that they blew out themselves, Toronto. That was one of the highlights. But again, for this team, they've been a little bit more competitive. I think that something that Coach Pops mentioned, and just kind of you've seen from the players, is just like the kind of all the games, four games and five nights. I mean, you know, just the kind of schedule that they've been part of. They really haven't had a lot of days off recently. I think it's kind of caught up to them, especially with them being on the road. So the Rodeo Road Trip couldn't have come at a perfect time. And I think Wemby's a player who kind of just shows that, in terms of, like, you could just tell the fatigue was kind of getting to him in some of these games recently, where he's finally had a really good bounce back, especially with that Toronto game. So just to talk about his triple-double against Toronto, Wemby had 27 points, 14 rebounds, 10 blocks, 5 assists, 2 steals in just 29 minutes, less than 30 minutes of playing time. Again, it was his second triple-double. I had tweeted after the game, I was just interested to see, you know, who did he block the most? Cause I saw a lot of Jacoperto, and I saw a lot of, Scotty Barnes blocks for Wemby on that night. And so sure enough, I kind of went through the play by play, and I kind of listed on Twitter all the players, the exact number of blocks that Wemby had. And poor Jacoperto, man, he had four. Wemby blocked him four times out of those 10. So, you know, Jac couldn't get his little jump hook against Wemby or his layups. And then same thing for Scotty Barnes. He tried to attack Wemby multiple times, and he even got blocked, I think it was like three times as well. So again, Wemby had a historic night there with 10 blocks. And on his way to a triple-double in just 29 minutes of action. And then just something we've seen from him is he's finally getting his stride back together again. I think that the fatigue and just the amount of games, the not that many off days, kind of just had an effect on him. And we saw that a little bit with some of his performances, where before the previous three games, he had scored in four straight games less than 20 points. And again, he had been on that streak of like 10 games in a row of 20 points. It looked natural to him to just get 20 easily each night for a stretch there. But then we had seen that, you know, he had really had some struggles in games where he was only getting a few rebounds too. And you could just kind of tell his energy wasn't quite there. It was just kind of that the long season was kind of getting to him. But then in these last three games, he's really had a bounce back where he's scored now between 21 and 27 points in his last three games. And when you look at where he's scoring from, he's really getting a lot more points again in the paint, where he's a lot more aggressive in there. I'm trying to get, you know, 14 points to the paint, 16 points to the paint on his way to a 27 point night. And then also something that's really improved for him has been his 3-point shooting. In his last six games, Wemby has made two or more threes. And again, just his last six games, he's taking 4.8 3-point attempts per night, and he's making 48% of those shots. So again, his 3-point ball has been there right now, especially his spot up type shot. He has that shot going. And then even when you look at a longer stretch, if you just look at his last 14 games played, he's now shooting 39% from three and basically the same amount of attempts, about 4.8 attempts per game. So again, we have definitely seen his 3-point shot has helped him out to be a little bit more consistent. I know that was one of his areas where he really struggled to begin the season, but again, lately, these last, you know, 14, 15 games, his 3-point shot has been a little bit more consistent, and we've seen his percentages go up as well. And then just regarding his blocks, where he's at for the season now, in just 49 games played of his rookie career, again, this is like the baseline of where his career is going to begin. He's already at 157 blocks. So again, 157 blocks in just 49 games played. So that kind of wraps up this episode of the Spurs Cast. Again, I just want to kind of dive into that Trae Young rumor, just provide an update on Marcus Morris situation, and then the first, just kind of explore the Spurs' first five rodeo road trip games. The Spurs do, they're going to participate, some of the Spurs players, in All-Star festivities this coming weekend. So this will be on Friday, probably when most of you are listening to this episode. So Wemby and Sochan are both going to be in the Rising Stars game, where they're going to be on different teams. Wemby's coached by, his coach is going to be Pau Gasol. And then Sochan's team is, he's on Jalen, I think it's Jalen Rose's team. And so basically they're not going to play each other in round one, but if they both win round one, then they will meet in the finale. So again, that should be pretty cool. The rules for that game are to not a certain amount of time. It's more a target score. So each team plays a target score. I had the details in a recent Spurs Cast episode. And then if the teams that win, they go on to play each other, which would be Victor versus Sochan if they both win. And then from there, they play the finale, another target score type of game, but just at a lower number. Wemby will also be part of the Skills Challenge night, where he's going to be in that, I think it's called the Skills Challenge, like, you know, where they run around the hoop and they throw the passes and there's like three, it's like a little relay. So he's going to be part of that event as well on Saturday night. I forgot who his teammates were. I think it's Anthony Edwards, the T-Wolves, and there's somebody else. Paolo Banchero, I believe. Yeah, I don't have the information in front of me. Anyway, so Wemby will be part of All-Star Saturday night as well, so that'll be fun to watch. And then Sunday, you know, obviously the Spurs didn't have an All-Star this past year, so, you know, Sunday would just be the normal All-Star game. So should be fun to watch. There for San Antonio. And then from there, the Spurs get a lot of days off, which is good. You know, they definitely need this rest, as we've seen with some of their recent blowouts that they've lost. You know, they definitely could use that break. And then on Thursday, they begin play again next week, still on the rodeo road trip, where they have about, I think, four games remaining on the rodeo road trip. So for Project Spurs, I am Paul Garcia. Thank you. Have a great day.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.